Hello, this is Anditi. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Friday, May 2nd, and coming up in today's episode, Prime Minister Modi attacks Congress while sharing stage with Shashi Tharoor. Mengaluru under curfew after another public murder as police enforce ban till May 6th. NIA reports Pakistan-based LET behind Kashmir attack that killed 26 in Pahalgam. And Apple moves production to India and Vietnam amid a $900 million tariff impact. Prime Minister Modi today inaugurated the Vizhinjam International Seaport in Kerala, a major new infrastructure project set to boost India's shipping industry. The event made headlines not only for the scale of the project, but also for a pointed remark by Prime Minister Modi that brought Congress MP Shashi Tharoor into the spotlight. Speaking from the stage, Prime Minister Modi said, and I quote, "Today Shashi Tharoor is sitting here. Today's program will disturb the sleep of some people. The message has gone wherever it had to go," unquote. These comments were seen as a rare public reference to the Congress MP who represents Thiruvananthapuram, where the port is located. Mr. Tharoor has served 4 terms in Parliament and is a prominent Congress leader in national politics. In the past few months, Shashi Tharoor's various comments, which seem to support Modi government's decisions, have been seen in the media as hints of him aligning with BJP. Earlier in the day, Mr. Tharoor personally received Prime Minister Modi at Thiruvananthapuram Airport. Sharing a photo on social media, he wrote, "Despite delays at the dysfunctional Delhi airport, managed to land in Thiruvananthapuram in time to receive Prime Minister Narendra Modi on his arrival in my constituency." His presence at the event comes at a time of growing attention to his position within the Congress party. In recent months, Mr. Tharoor has spoken openly what he calls a leadership vacuum in the Kerala unit of the party. He has also met senior Congress leaders, including Rahul Gandhi, to discuss his future within the party and his role. Meanwhile, BJP's Kerala chief Rajiv Chandrasekhar recently praised Mr. Tharoor for earlier remarks on India's vaccine diplomacy and its stance on the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Mr. Chandrasekhar said they have become enlightened, thanking Mr. Tharoor and others for acknowledging the government efforts. In a magazine article, Mr. Tharoor had written, "India's efforts were appreciated, enhancing its reputation as a global responsible leader." Though he did not mention Prime Minister Modi by name, the comment still drew a lot of attention. Congress leadership has attempted to show unity. Rahul Gandhi recently shared an image of Kerala Congress leaders with the caption, "They stand as one." The silhouette appeared to include Mr. Tharoor. Mr. Tharoor has stated that his words are often taken out of context and that he remains committed to the Congress, though he has not ruled out other options. As for the port, built at a cost of Rs. 8,867 crore, is being developed by Adani Ports and SEZ under a public-private partnership. The site is expected to become a major transshipment hub. Prohibitory orders have been imposed in Karnataka's Mengaluru city after a man was hacked to death in public on Thursday evening. The police say restrictions will remain in place till 6th of May. The man killed was Suhas Shetty, aged in his early 30s. He was attacked on a busy road by at least 5 men armed with machetes and swords. The brutal attack was caught on CCTV cameras. Police say Shetty was a key accused in the 2022 murder of 23-year-old Muhammad Fazal in Bengaluru. Fazal's killing was believed to have been in retaliation for the murder of BJP youth worker Praveen Netaru. Suhas Shetty was also reported to be linked to local Hindutva groups and had several cases registered against him, including for assault and unlawful assembly. Following Thursday's killing, police issued prohibitory orders under Section 163 of the Bharatiya Nagarik Suraksha Sanhita. The order bans public gatherings, meetings, rallies, shouting of slogans and carrying of objects that could be used as weapons. Police believe the attack on Shetty was planned in advance, but the motive is still under investigation. Karnataka's Home Minister G. Parameshwara described the murder as gruesome and said efforts are underway to track down the suspects. He said, and I quote, "A gruesome murder has occurred in Mengaluru city on Thursday. We have already taken note of it and we have in fact set up 4 different teams to catch the culprits. We are going to bring them to the book. We will not have any compromise on this." He said additional police forces have been sent to the city to maintain peace. Speaking to reporters, he said that we have taken it very seriously and peace and harmony should be maintained, so additional forces have been deployed. This is the second violent attack reported from the area in a week. On 27th of April, a man named Ashraf from Kerala's Wayanad district was allegedly beaten to death during a dispute linked to cricket match on the outskirts of Mangaluru. Police say the man may have shouted a slogan before being attacked. He was reportedly hit with wooden sticks and kicked. Despite some people trying to stop it, he died from the injuries. 20 people have now been arrested in connection with that case. The National Investigation Agency or NIA has released a preliminary report on the terror attack that took place in Pehalgam's Baisaran Valley on 22nd April. The attack had killed 26 people, 25 tourists and one local Kashmiri. According to sources, the NIA believes the plot was planned by terror group Lashkar-e-Taiba, which with support from Pakistan's intelligence agency ISI. Investigators say the plan was finalized at Lashkar's headquarters in Pakistan. Two key attackers have been identified as Pakistani nationals, Hashmi Musa, also known as Suleiman, and Ali Bhai, also known as Talha Bhai. The NIA says both men were in regular contact with handlers in Pakistan who gave them instructions on when and how to carry out the attack. The attackers reportedly entered India weeks before the incident. They were supported by local overground workers or OGWs who provided shelter, guided them through the area and helped gather information. The NIA has collected forensic and digital evidence from the site. Over 40 bullet cartridges were recovered and sent for analysis. Investigators also created a 3D map of the area and collected data from nearby mobile towers. Unusual satellite phone activity was recorded in the days before the attack. Signals from at least 3 phones have been traced and are being analysed. More than 2,800 people have been questioned. As of 2nd May, over 150 individuals remain in custody, including suspected OGWs and people linked to the banned organisations such as Jamaat-e-Islami, and parts of the Hurriyat Conference. Raids have been carried out in several districts including Kupwara, Pulwama, Sopor, Anantnag and Baramulla. One raid took place at home of Mushtaq Ahmed Zargar in Srinagar. He was involved in the IC-814 hijack in 1999 and is believed to be in Pakistan. CCTV footage from the areas around Pehalgam have been collected. Eyewitness such as pony riders, food vendors and victim families have also given statements. Some said the attackers may have used cameras strapped to their bodies, possibly to record the assault. The NIA says Pehalgam attack is connected to a similar incident in 2024 near the Zimor tunnel in Sonamarg, where 7 people were killed. One of the attackers in both cases, Junaid Ahmed Bhatt, was killed in December last year. Another, Hashmi Musa, is now confirmed to have taken part in both. Apple says most of its iPhones sold in the United States during the June quarter will be made in India, while India will continue to produce most of the devices for other global markets. The update came during Apple's second quarter earnings call. CEO Tim Cook said the shift is a part of a broader production strategy which also includes moving manufacturing of other Apple products to Vietnam. Quote, "For the June quarter, we do expect the majority of iPhones sold in the US will have India as their country of origin and Vietnam to be the country of origin for almost all iPad, Mac, Apple Watch and AirPods. Products also sold in the US," Cook said. He added that China would continue to be the main production base for Apple products sold outside the US. Cook also addressed concerns about rising tariff costs. He said Apple's current exposure to tariff is almost at 20% rate. This applies to US imports of products made in China. Quote, "In addition for China, there was an additional 125% tariff for imports of certain category of products announced in April. For us, there's some of our US Apple Care and accessories businesses and brings the total rate in China for these products to at least 145%. Cook noted that most Apple products, including iPhones, iPads, Macs, Apple Watch and Vision Pro, are not affected by recent global tariffs. However, he did mention a Section 232 investigation launched by the US Commerce Department. This is focused on imports of semiconductors, equipment, and products that contain semiconductors. He added, according to Reuters report, he said, we estimate the impact, assuming current global tariff rates and policies don't change, to be $900 million in costs for June quarter. He clarified that this estimate is only for the current quarter and does not reflect future production plans. Apple reported revenue of $95.35 billion for the second quarter ending 29th March 2025. There's a 5% rise from the same period last year, driven by growth in services as well as Mac and iPad sales. However, iPhone sales dropped by around 2%, down to $46.84 billion compared to $45.96 billion in the same quarter of 2024. The story is based on a Reuters report. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV. This is your host Anvati, signing off.